Audrey Lee Malone, so that makes me half Chinese. And if you saw my mother's eyes, they are also likewise splits. So and mine a little bit. And the only difference is that we just have a freckle, one freckle. And so what's, I can't hear you, babe. My daughter Lou. And I have a daughter Lou who's partly Chinese. All right, let's kind of turn a little bit, since I only have 30 minutes or less, and I'm going to try to stay on point like of yesterday, Lord willing, even though there's a lot to be said. Your pastor had asked me that I would consider sharing my perspective as we have journeyed, again, primarily in three locations in terms of doing ministry. But yet we've kind of been to a number of places when I think about it. A lot of it's vacationing, but still an opportunity to witness and to talk to people in Rome and Australia and Sydney and Auckland, New Zealand, and the Peloponnesian Islands, and Spain and Portugal and France and England. And so those have been nice places that we've gone and been able to talk with people and get a little bit of sense of the political views as well as some spiritual considerations. The night I've got what I would probably would consider one of the most challenging areas, and I shifted my theme because I said, really, I need to cover this, and I don't know if it's up there yet, but you'll see that. Sustainability. If you have your Bibles or however it is, hard copy, electronic copy, or you got it totally memorized, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 through 16. In Kenya, we were just elated with the enthusiasm, positive attitudes, the love for the Kenyan people by the Metzlers. Pastor Mike and his wife, Mama Rachel, her name is Gail, but for 25 years in one country, and having that level of enthusiasm and anticipation of God's really continuing to work and to abound in a great way, it was extremely encouraging. It really, really was. And their plan, again, is to remain there in Kenya all the days of their life, and even when they, retire or move aside as the church planter, but still there as a support, they plan on remaining there in the land. But just as there is every case where there is great opportunity, great joy, great things to acknowledge, we've also experienced this case where there is somewhat sadness. We've been to Trinidad and Tobago probably 10 years in a row, maybe a little bit longer. I really need to count. But the churches that we've been working with there have been four missionaries working within that group of Fundamental Baptist Church in the West Indies. And of that four, there's no longer those four there. And they've come from schools that we know. They've come from Bob Jones, Tennessee Temple. They've come from, I believe, my school there in Pennsylvania, and one Canadian school. And it's just been a little bit of a sad occasion in terms of the fact that they weren't able to sustain for various reasons, some very serious. Both had a great love for the people there in Trinidad and Tobago. But one pastor, one missionary, the Lord took his wife, and he had six young children under the age of 12. And obviously, that caused him having to return to Canada. The other that had a great love for the people and wanted to remain in Trinidad and Tobago all the days of their life. I mean, I could see that in his heart, and as well as his wife. But his theological training, well, I won't say his training, but she shifted it. And it wasn't necessarily that bad, but it didn't go across well. He didn't either explain himself well, as I heard, and I was there. But they asked him to leave because of a theological change or the theological misconception that came out from his mouth, which hurt him greatly. I think it hurt us too, because I really had a sense that he had a great love for the work that he was doing. But the two others were not quite the same. The other was over on Tobago side, which the Tobago side is the more the resort side. Trinidad is more commercial and industrial side. And a good friend of ours over on the Tobago side, he's a general contractor, in our financial understanding, or how we would consider finance, he would be considered a millionaire. So he let this family from the States with five children stay in this $600,000 home, but they just went to the beach a lot, and they went to the beach too much. And so the mission board asked them, likewise, to leave the country. The only way you can go to Trinidad and Tobago and minister is to be invited. And so they disinvited him. And the sad thing is they wrecked that man's $600,000 home in terms of the living and what was there. One of our, again, he was from Pennsylvania area. And then the other was just one that I don't think he had a love for the people. And they had to confront him about some of the things that he said and didn't want. And I'll just tell you, he said they didn't want American racism down there in Trinidad and Tobago. So they disinvited him as well and sent him home. So now within this five or six church association, there, as far as I know, there's no American missionary working with them. A sad occasion that in terms, but I don't believe those four had that original intent. I think they had legitimate calling. I think they had a legitimate reason to be there and had a legitimate mission for being there. But something happened along the way, and so I don't know exactly what happened along the way. But if there's anything, when I teach a pastoral theology, I out of the syllabus, I don't know how many pages it is, but I allocate 10 to 12 pages just on this particular topic of sustainability. Be resilient in the ministry. And that can take place here in regards to a pastorate here in the States. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be anyone that's leading the people of God or serving the Lord in some capacity. The importance of sustainability is a very, very vital thing that ought to be. And when I look at sustainability, I look at it, and this is kind of what, as I see it, it is the capability of remaining faithfully and honorably at the task of one's calling. Faithfully and honorably. And i.e., as I put on there, i.e., being able to weather the ebbs and flow of the work of the ministry or the gospel experience. Being able to handle that. And so, therefore, I think it's extremely vital. And if I would really stand back, and I got to really, really hurry up because I haven't even gotten past the introduction here. But if I really stand back and say, okay, let me kind of catalog some areas as it relates to deficiencies or necessities. And I would kind of probably rate number one, very, very important. Having a proper view of success. What does it mean to be successful in a ministry? And we have a tendency, because obviously we're very objective people. We're very goal-oriented. And so there's a tendency to look at what? Bodies, budgets, and buildings. And so therefore, if we've got those in some quantitative measure, boy, that's success. So it's important for sustainability that we have a proper view of what success is. And I think it is. It's faithfulness and honorableness in terms of what the calling is all about. The other is a personal life. When I look at the personal life, I consider, have you ever been to a drama or a play? And boy, they're right on the stage, and boy, it's all laid out as an order, and the actors are doing during their thing, whatever the play is. Have you ever gone backstage? Man, it's a junk house. It's a madhouse back. I don't know how they get anything done. Well, partly that's kind of like perhaps some of our lives. There is the front stage. Oh, man, proper and prim and well decked out and eloquent and so on and so forth. But then we go home backstage. What in my life? Backstage. It's a wreck. It's a madhouse. I don't know how he was able to get out here. Personal life, including home life. preparation, being qualified theologically, but also proven, being tested. You know, you can stand the test of time. I know when I was in seminary, I really tried to get involved in everything that there was possible in terms of ministry. I learned sign language, so I have never know. I might meet some people who have a problem with hearing or they're deaf. So I took sign language, and obviously with children ministry and on and on. And then I had an occasion, because I wanted to be a church planner, to go out with an individual to plant a church. And my wife and I, we were their first couple. We went together as a team. And boy, we started off in some really rough digs in terms of meeting place. But that first meeting was just the four of us. But by the end of the year, by God's grace, that church was independent. And so giving a feel what it's like in order to be a church planter. So being proven, being tested out, as well as therefore problems, being able to handle problems that come up in the ministry. And I wish I could say, and I know we can turn to every pastor and every one that's a Sunday school leader, school teacher, etc., would say that, you know what? There's going to be problems. There are going to be problems. We are all yet sinners, and there are just going to still be problems. And so, therefore, we'll want to take a look for a moment at Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, and giving just a little bit of a background, Timothy is being charged by the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul has got to leave. Something's called him away. And he's going to assign Timothy the responsibility. You got to turn some things around. There need to be some corrective measure taking place. And so in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he lets him be known that, boy, you got to take charge of things and yank some of the teachers there or definitely correct what was being taught in the church. He also gave him an approach in chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, if I'm not there, if I tarry and I don't get back as soon as I thought I would hope to get back, that you might know how you ought to behave, how you ought to govern yourself, how it's got to work out. It's got to work out through you. And this is what all the instructions that the Apostle Paul will give Timothy. And then he makes a couple of affirmations. In chapter 4, he lets it be known, you know what? Over time, I don't care what, it seems as though the people of God are easy to get off track, easy to be seduced. And that's just saying like that. Don't be surprised in light of what's taking place here in Ephesus. Because as he indicates, that in these latter times, which includes now, people are not going to stick to the stuff. They're not going to stay right on point. And so therefore, you need to understand that. And we need to work in order to get and maintain the ministry accordingly. And then he lets it be known in verse number 10. He says, okay, look, just understand, appreciate. Therefore, in light of the challenge, in light of what we need to do to correct things and what is really most important is not the gymnasium and bodily exercise, but we need to exercise under godliness. He says, for therefore, we both labor and what? Suffer reproach. Why? Because we trust in a living God. There is something about when there is trust in a living God and doing work for the living God, the true God, the God of the Bible, there is going to be challenge. There is going to be opposition. And so that is, as he tells Timothy, that is what it is. That is what it is. But for Timothy, he's a younger individual, perhaps in his mid-40s, as being said. And in that culture, obviously, that would be just a young whippersnapper, one that's not quite mature. One of the things I really appreciate about the African culture is they appreciate older people. Now, we're a throwaway generation. So therefore, we're always looking at the young, the one with a lot of vim and vigor and vitality. And then once you've got a little less of that or much less of that, well, then we throw that away when we don't take advantage of the great wisdom that an old guy like myself possesses. But those in Kenya, those in Africa do. And so every time we went out and we were out knocking on doors, when I went in, I always got a chair. Now, the other young folks, they had to stand up. But I got a chair, sit down, everybody surrounded me. I said, I like this. I do. I like this. I wouldn't get this back at home. I'd have to sit in the back because I'm an old guy, you know. We don't need you anymore. So I like that because every house we went in, I got a chair. And man, I tell you, and they really respect. They shake their hand and they'll bow a bit or they'll grab my hand and respect. And I truly says, this is the place, again, I ought to be. So Timothy is being, as he's doing the work of the ministry, he's getting pushed back by some people in the church. I can just imagine, you're just a young kid. You don't know, you haven't marched through the tough times, and you don't know what it is. And so the Apostle Paul, if I allow me to read, he's going to let Timothy know, how do you deal with opposition that is an affront to you? He says in verse number 12, and I'll go down to 16, let no man despise your youth, but be you an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save yourself, or thyself, and them that hear thee. Father, I pray, Lord, that we all would have a great appreciation of how we can sustain ourselves in the work of the ministry and the vital truths that are here for example as well as for instruction, dear Lord, for our lives. And certainly as we pray for our prospective missionaries and the missionaries that we do know that are on the field today, in Jesus' precious name, amen. So my challenge is this, is how to sustain oneself when facing criticisms from some in the church. I have to say, I face criticism. And I have to assume Pastor Ralph Warren has faced criticism. Perhaps maybe not as much, but certainly we do. How do we sustain ourselves in this particular regard? I think there's two counteractions that are in our text. They're both negatives. In other words, in verse number 12 and verse number 14, but really they're kind of positives. So what he does, he gives the not, which are the negatives, and then he forms two other positive ideas beneath there. So here are the two counteractions. To me is, don't tolerate unfounded criticism as one. In other words, they're despising as you. Don't tolerate unfounded criticism. As a matter of fact, Paul will address the possibility of criticism in chapter 5 when he says, hey, look, don't take an accusation against an elder except under two or three witnesses. So unfounded criticism, just don't take it. Now, he's going to tell you how do you react to that. How do you respond to unfounded criticism? The other question, I think, the other negative, which is a positive, is don't try to be what you are not. And I'll try to explain that, how I at least extract that out of not neglecting the gift that is in you. And basically, this is what God has given you. Don't try to be somebody else because somebody else thinks you ought to be doing something different. Let's look at these quickly if we can. I got 15 minutes in order to pull this off, I think. And we'll see if we can. Let's look at the positive. In other words, don't tolerate unfounded criticism. What does he say? In verse number 12, he says, don't let anybody despise your youth. Here's a but. Here's a contrast. Instead, be an example of the believers. And so what I say is be a complete. Why do I say complete? Because he sets forth a series of attributes that ought to be manifested in ourselves as leaders, as pastors, as missionaries. So we want to be a complete example. We want to be a model of a Christian faith. And so he says, this is how you, this is what it, you sh- I expect of you, that you do that in word. How the words that you use, the rational thinking that you employ, be that in that, be in conversation, your behavior, in love, in spirit, your whole attitude. And it needs to be evident that there is a Christian attitude of one of joy, one of anticipation, one of hope, not one of despair and woe is me. In faith, that's which we trust, that Lord is going to work out as well as our life in terms of purity. So he says, in total, a comprehensive model, all the elements that are there, you employ that. You stand as that as an example. That is a resistance. That is a counteract against anyone that attempt to criticize you. Then he says, all right, maintain the proper corrective priority within the church, because this is taking place in a church. So he says, okay, until I come, this is what you continue to do. Continue to read that word of God before the congregation. Continue to proclaim the word of God within that congregation, and continue to teach that word within the congregation. You just continue to do what the mission is. You stay on point. You don't get thrown off. You stay on, because in those three elements, air goes change, air goes transformation, air goes faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Blessed is he that readeth and doeth the words of this prophecy, and so on and so forth. Don't tolerate unfounded criticism. Second, don't try to be what you're not. In verse number 14, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbyter. And that is, and as I look at that and I say, okay, here somewhere along the line, Timothy is either being commissioned, being declared what they see in his life, and they are commissioning him out. Or you might say, well, the prophecy is more prophetic in the sense of a supernatural proclamation or statement or about Timothy's life. But I am basically saying, at least for us, that it should be evident and of what God has given unto us to be effective in ministry. And that may not necessarily within ourselves have a certain sense of appreciation for, but certainly through our pastor, within our church, those that commission us out, there needs to be some declaration, some clarification, some statement sitting us down and saying, this is what I see in you, what God has laid, what God has done. I need to have that. And I can recall, we've done four times in our church in Minnesota where we actually have brought people forward because they were going out. I can remember the Stocklands. Him and his wife, they were going to Washington, D.C. Tremendous couple. He was going to be, and he still is, what are those guys that guard the president? What is it? Secret Service? He's a Secret Service agent. He's probably the only good guy there. I don't know. But man, I'm really expecting that one day we're going to hear them going onto the mission field. We brought them forward. We declared what we saw in them, laid our hands, our deacons, myself, we prayed for them. They went out. We had a couple that are going to Haiti, and they were doing work with the Haiti Lifeline, which was an orphanage. And there's a family of seven, brought them forward. What we saw in their lives as they went almost on an annual basis to Haiti with the family just to work in that orphanage, putting in a library and so on and so forth. We laid hands on them and they went out. The Boltons went to China for a year. We put hands on them and sent them out. And there was Jean Sin. She is a Chinese, Malaysian Chinese, going to Boston. We brought her for. Now, others have left, but we didn't do the same. We didn't see God's working on them, and we didn't make a particular declaration. But to have that, when it comes, when I think about sustainability, and this particular area where we have other individuals in our lives, I believe missionaries as well as pastors, there are six kinds of people for sustainment. And it might not be, it doesn't necessarily have to be six individuals. Maybe one individual can be two or three. But I think we need this. I need this. One, there is someone that is authoritative, and usually that's going to either be the pastor of the church in terms of which I'm commissioned from, the boss, I can say, one that I am accountable to. It could be the church, the congregation. I am accountable to the congregation to report back how God is using me and how the work of the ministry is going. So we need that. We need a mentor, someone who would pour their lives into me or me into them. I'm trying to do that now. As young men are, again, I had indicated to you the young man in the Hispanic young man is trying to start a Hispanic ministry, and we talk on occasion. He wants to know about what it's like to be a church planter and what are the issues that are there and what should he be considered, and say, let me pour my life into you. Let me tell you the do's, at least at my perspective of the do's and the challenges and the things that you need to be aware of and keep in mind that this is God's work and not necessarily ours. We're instruments of God and so on and so forth. A mentor. We need a coach. Boy, I like this. The coach is not an expert. He's maybe not a pastor. He might not know anything about missions ministry. But he's a guy, and I like this type of guy. Because what he does, he is, or gal, he's able to ask questions that are very penetrating, that ultimately you solve your own problem. He's able to ask the right set of questions. That's one thing I was taught in at GE, is how to be able to answer the right question, and that you could run any company in the country, not because you're the expert, because you can ask the right questions of the right people, and that you can put the right people in place. Coach. Counselor, someone who assists for cleansing our wounds. We're still sinners, and obviously there are the occasion for that necessity. A trainer, continued education, that'll be my topic. 5-minute topic, I think we're going to eat a lot, so we'll be somewhat sleepy, and so there'll be only 5 minutes. I already figured it out, 5 minutes, if I can keep you awake for that 5 minutes. And, of course, a friend, one that's committed to you, loving you, good times, bad times, all the time. So I think these are five, and that's what I tell all the guys in my class. These are six individuals you need in your life. Or maybe it's three of them because they can do two each. But you need that. The issue is sustainability, resilience in the work of the ministry. Which takes us back to the other requirement that is here under our passage. Not only are we not going to neglect what we understand and what has proclaimed about us, we're also is going to require some introspection and some tenacity. And so what does he say? Meditate, think on these, reflect on these things. Do a little self-talk, talking about these things. What are these things? Well, the calling and what others in authority and that have come alongside and have said about you, the work of the ministry that has to remain always, I don't care what anyone says, has to always to be there. And as you would reflect on those things and being us, what God has ordained us to be, being what God has gifted us to be and not someone else. So he says, meditate upon these things and wholly give your total being into that reflection to do that. Through that, people will look at you and see how that is profiting you. I can't tell you the number of occasions, at least it took place when I worked for the General. Generous Electric, very generous company. How can you be so confident in light of how bad things are perhaps taking place within our organization? And I can only say it's just Christ living in me. Christ living in me. And so the people need to see your prophecy, even though, boy, it looks like, boy, there's a lot of opposition there, I mean, that's coming against you personally, or maybe there's just opposition that relates to the work of the ministry that's there. So, verse number 14, he tells us again, taking heed, this is to ourselves. In this particular area, and taking heed to ourselves, he's saying, you know what? There's preparation for teaching and preaching the Word of God. And that preparation for teaching and preaching the Word of God needs to first have impact on your life, my life. So he'll look at verse number 16. He says, take heed to yourself. And then he says, unto the doctrine, unto the teaching. Reflect upon what you know and study in light of what you are and what you need to be. And he says, continue in them, or continue in what you have learned. This is not something to be forgotten. For he says, for in doing this, what happens? Not only do you save yourself, but there are going to be people who are going to listen. Not everybody. Paul didn't say they're all going to listen. But he does say, you're going to save yourself, and you're going to save those that are going to listen to you. And that's going to keep that ship going. And that's going to keep you resilient. Without sustainability, the ministry can crush. It can crush. It can cause the brokenness and depression, especially, again, as I let it out, number one, in terms of what we consider success. Because we'll work, as I can think of my first ministry, work myself to the point of exhaustion because of what? Trying to deal with bodies, budgets, and buildings. It'll crush you without a proper view of success. Without the parameters that Paul lays out in terms of how Timothy was supposed to sustain himself in light of personal opposition. But instead, sustainable is thriving. It's resilient. It's victorious. My challenge for all of us as we serve the Lord, and certainly as we think about our missionaries and always to have a time of prayer for them. I don't know how you lay it out. I used to have a schedule. It says, okay, Monday, I'm going to pray for all the pastors that I know, because usually Monday is the day that we quit. Sunday was a rough day. Monday, we quit. But then on either Tuesday or Thursday, I wasn't certain which day I put those on, would be the missionaries. The missionaries that I know. And that God would sustain them. And so I would encourage us all to remember God's leaders, remember those that are serving the Lord in various ways. That the Lord would provide them the grace to continue on faithfully and honorably. Let's pray.